Technology topic from Vladek. You want to take us through that?
Thank you, John. So today I will present a bit different approach, more focused on technology, but I'll skim through it, so hopefully it won't be too difficult to understand some of the things. So I will try to briefly focus on three different topics. The first topic will be about extensible enumerations, which are something recent developed by XAI, and we'll focus on that. We have some questions to you regarding this subject. The second one is more about more updates regarding IFRS taxonomy version information. And the third one is interactive IFRS taxonomy illustrated with documentation labels. So going forward, I would like to provide some context. What are enumerations and the context of XAI, how enumerations are used? So the XBRL 2.1 specification supports the basic enumerations, and these enumerations were defined in XML schema data types. And these enumerations were like a complete list set in stone, for example, in a taxonomy, and it was quite difficult to extend this list without changing the structure of the core schema of a taxonomy. The new XBRL specification regarding extensible enumeration was released in October 2014, and it gave us some additional functionalities to add new things into enumerations. But I will explain later on the functionality of extensible enumerations. What are enumerations? So as I said, it's a complete predefined list of values. Usually they are stored in the core schema, and they give you some value options to select from. And as I mentioned before, even if you extend the, one of those taxonomy that contains enumerations, it's quite difficult to override these options. Going forward, at this moment...
Quite difficult or impossible?
Impossible.
Nothing is impossible for Vladek.
we could, not impossible, you wouldn't want to
do it. From XBRL perspective, yes, it's impossible, but you can wrangle around the XML and do some work around it. So at the moment, the IFRS taxonomy does not use enumerations and does not contain many elements for which enumeration could be used. We came up with, we had a bit of struggle to find out some example to present the enumerations, but we came up with a description of inventory cost formulas where you have some values in those enumeration, like specific identifications, FIFO, so first in, first out, and weighted average as those examples. So to proceed to extensible enumerations, the key benefit of those enumerations is that you can extend it. So let's say if IFRS taxonomy had some extensible enumerations, for this enumeration could be extended if you would like to, let's say, extend our taxonomy. You could change the value or add the values into it. So because XBRL project often require extensible enumerations which leave extension taxonomies free to argument the list of allowed values for a concept. So there is a different mechanism that is used. It's not a flat list like we were using an XML type, but it's just you can add almost like a new member to the domain, like we use for explicit dimension. And an additional feature of this extensible enumeration is it allows to work with multiple languages by adding generic labels into it. So some projects who requires different languages, that would be beneficial if they want to use enumerations. So that was one of the considerations for adding extensible enumerations. And basically, this extensible enumeration is different from the original enumerations. And if extender of a taxonomy comes in and try to extend, let's say, IFRS taxonomy, it doesn't need to change the core schema of the taxonomy yet, and can add on values to enumerations that already exist in the taxonomy. Going forward, I would like to present our view regarding the extensible enumerations. So we reviewed the new features that offers offered by extensible enumerations, but actually we do not expect to use them in the short term. However, take the new possibilities into account when further developing of the IFRS taxonomy. So our view comes from the point of, because enumeration, we didn't really use enumerations before, I think extensible enumerations are not bringing much to the table. So we see the potential user of those enumerations, but it would be difficult for us to add those enumerations to our taxonomy, since our taxonomy doesn't have much elements to use enumeration. The other thing is one of the things that you can mention is, let's say, country names or currency codes for enumerations. We wanted not to add this items to our taxonomy, so therefore extensible enumerations are not really valid for our taxonomy at the moment. So there are two questions. The first one is, should we consider using enumerations in the IFRS taxonomy? If yes, can you please give some examples? And the second question is, do you see any cases where including extensible enumeration in the existing IFRS taxonomy would be useful? And please give some examples as well, if you know. Yeah, Luke?
What about segment? I'm not saying I fully understand enumerations yet, but I'm getting there. Segments of a company, you know, there's breakdown revenue by segment, adhesive segment, chemical segment, and say that's the two. Might that be an example where you could put that in? I guess a company can put their own drop down list of segments. I guess that wouldn't be in the IFRS. Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, the thing that was missing from that is the enumerations of the content of the line item. But you can do, the thing that it lets you do that you couldn't do with the existing enumeration list of content of a line item is you can base it on one of your existing lists of members so that they're in sync and you can share that information. But it's the content of a line item.
So the example up there of FIFO and weighted average would be really it's FIFO inventory, weighted average inventory. Those look like members to me, sorry. I guess they were line items.
I think there wasn't.
One of the reasons we had such trouble finding an example, we don't really have very many line item cases where we'd actually want to give enumerated list of values.
There were line items in this case because we have an element that says description of method of whatever.
Okay.
For inventories.
Yeah.
And the only possibilities are the three.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be a content of a text line item.
Yes. Description of, yeah.
That's why we use this element. So but
those would be the fact values.
Yeah.
For that.
But it's true that most of that come to mind are members.
Yeah.
And would it really be worth us introducing a whole new piece of specification for the few cases we can think of is basically the question. Mm. What do people think about enumerations?
No, and I think we saw it when we looked at it, we saw it more for the description of accounting policies, where, for instance, if you now, at the moment, we have description of accounting policies and the entity just has to and to write themselves what this description is going to be. So they would have to write LIFO, and an entity may make a mistake, or they have an additional effort to enter this text. Now they would just see a drop-down box where they can tick LIFO, and automatically the enumeration is attributed to that line item. So I think there are some benefits, because probably it could improve the quality, it could help more with searching and data downloading for the user, etc. But I think we came to the conclusion as well that we thought, look, the benefits are probably so marginal that it's not worth the cost or worth additional architectural feature we introduced within the IFRS taxonomy. But of course, we want to understand that you share our views.
Unless we can think of some really good examples, which you could not do.
Exactly.
But you never know what we might come up with.
Yeah.
I got it.
This enumeration, it's still, without having seen it in use, I'm not sure how this plays out in terms of the context it's using. But am I able to use multiple enumerations against the same line item in the same instance? Is it getting its own context, or I'm still stuck with, you know, one fact per line item per context?
I think it's stuck to
one.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's going to be any way to share
unlike
list
if it was
across one item.
Unlike if it was a dimension, I'd have multiple contexts.
Well, no, you could set it to any one of the list of values, but you'd have one list of value for that fact. Mm.
Yeah, so unless that tag is part of a, God forbid, so I should say the word tuple.
I'm sorry, I've never heard that.
So it's every drop down goes to one context.
Right, so for that element, for that period, I'm only able to use one item in the list. Right, so again, to your segment example, forget about it, right?
Right, unless you had a.
Yeah.
It makes it more restrictive.
The other thing that really puzzles me about an extendable enumeration is that one of the values of an enumerated list is it limits to a defined population, and this is like adding other onto everything. I find that really troubling.
But for the inventory example, it probably is a defined list.
Why do you need to extend it?
They'll screw it up.
There you go. They screw it up because you're allowing them to extend it. If you
give them a drop down, then they don't screw it up.
But that's just an enumeration.
These are extensible enumeration.
Right.
But we have enumeration.
That really makes it difficult.
But we already have enumeration. In fact, I think we have one for LIFO and FIFO.
I have seen some genuine uses of wanting to be able to extend enumerations. It's to have an initial set of fixed values that can be analyzed, but to allow people to put in more detail when they give an other without the ability to trigger another element to also be reported.
Yeah. The one case that we've been trying to see if this had some value is on this. We have some dimensions that our balance sheet location or income statement location. And if we had an enumerated list of all of those locations, then in theory, we've now got a mechanism. We've got what is effectively a glossary that we can now associate with a specific line item. That's kind of the vague theory. We haven't tried to validate that. But based on the email I just got from David, from Bartosz, says, forget about it. Because, and I'll just read his words here. He says, indeed, if you define an enumerated item in US GAAP's schema, then filers can extend it with their members, but they must apply the US GAAP ELR in starting member. The US GAAP ELR.
Extended link rule.
Yeah.
Which we can't do.
We can't do.
Mm. We're not, you can't reuse it. At least in current requirements.
Got it?
Yes. Any other questions before I proceed?
I think Palu has a question, I have a question.
No, I think it's pretty much answered. I was just wondering, you know, as a use case, if you have a list of countries and a list of currencies.
Yes.
Would this be used?
Well, as I said before, if we had this list included in our IFRS taxonomy, yes, but we tend to avoid adding those lists into the IFRS taxonomy because of the maintenance of this list. It's one of the reasons.
Also, we think it should be somebody else's job, basically.
Wouldn't this eliminate the maintenance?
Yeah, I mean, and the people would maintain it themselves as needed.
No, but if you finish with the list of county codes, that is like ISO county.
You could use it like fences for ISO county codes or fences for segmentated code. Your segmentated, you could fence use the CISIC or NAIC classification system. So you could use it for this kind of things. But we felt like that this kind of taxonomies or classification systems are really outside of the business model and domain of the content scope of the IFRS taxonomy. So when we reflect further, we thought there were only very few instances where we could use either enumerations or definitely not extensible enumerations. So that was the end conclusion we came from. And I have the impression that it's similar, or Michal, Luisi?
I am very afraid to say what I'm going to say. The balance around the table is clearly negative towards the enumerations. I would just like to offer a slightly different view. Firstly, I think the importance is to clarify what these enumerations appeared for. There was an issue with extending the so-called enumerations as facets in the schema. When we define an element and we created an enumerated list and we wanted users to extend this list, apply certain labels or references to this list, it was impossible because XBRL specification prescribed that. It didn't allow for that. So we couldn't extend that list. That's why we came up as XBRL International with an idea that if this list was defined somewhere in the taxonomy, and you can use any type of structure defined in the taxonomy, be it in some extended link role as it was said before, you can attach the domain, the top member of this domain, as your list of extended elements of your enumerations. And this list will be read by the software as a drop-down list, as Vladek was saying, was showing on the slide. In a sense, that has a number of applications. Wherever we are looking for restricting or more controlling, so to say, the extensibility and increasing the comparability of these extension options, we can push for or recommend using the extensible enumerated lists. Wherever we have an issue with, for instance, multilingual labels attached to enumerated values, we can use these enumerated lists. The same applies for references. So in a sense, it has much broader use than just replacing some of these enumerations as have been discussed around the table. That's why my recommendation would be to maybe more thoroughly review the IFRS taxonomy and see whether there are those broader application areas.
Do we have any enumerated lists of things to even translate?
That's true. But I was
places for people to put in their own reference.
That's true. What I was thinking in the context of the IFRS taxonomy, I think what would be more interesting would be to see where these enumerated lists could possibly help us facilitate comparability between the financial statements. So where these extended enumerated lists could be used by the filers in order to restrict certain values. We right now may have it differently structured, so it doesn't apply. But perhaps there are some fields
in the long term, potentially, but we have to have a big discussion about whether or not we want to be pushing people in the direction of a set of restricted values which they may extend, as opposed to the free text field where they may use what they want. And so in theory, there are some fields where we could go with this, that list of values. There aren't very many of them, but there are some. But then we have to have a discussion about whether what we want to do is push people towards the restricted values with the option of extension, which is a very different line of openness to giving them the free fields to put in what the values that they're using.
I know, as dramatic as it sounds, but that is what I would recommend.
Or
considering.
Do you have any examples in mind?
As, you know, the obvious examples that come for any of these enumerations are the wherever we are using type dimensions, or
we
aren't at present.
I was asking about direct examples in the IFRS taxonomy.
I would need to go back. Frankly speaking, I don't have anything in mind right now. I was just thinking maybe to recommend to this group that we just be careful with dismissing the enumerated extended lists on the grounds of not applicable to the current structures. We may want to review certain structures to allow the users, but I think this is just a point to consider the value of this enumerated list beyond the obvious, so to say, application where we have, for instance, the container for operating segments or container for geographical segments or currency codes or things like that. Wherever we can, in a sense, from my perspective, it is more comparable or better comparable across different financial statements if it is defined rather than if it is typed. And that's fairly obvious. So if we allow people typing in certain values and then we want to compare these values across the different entities or time, it's going to be more difficult for the analyst. So if we would like to facilitate that, we may want to take a second look at the IFRS taxonomy to see whether such places exist where we could apply possibly this specification.
Yeah, in the long term, I don't disagree with you. Vladek's original slide did say in the short term we can't see an immediate use for them, but you know we can reconsider. But it comes along with a set of improvements to consider how to make things easier for analysts, but we have to then consider the impact on preparers because it does drift towards pushing people towards picking from lists, and that's something that IFRS has to think about quite carefully.
That's true. Lewis, you still have a...
I had an original question and I have another question. But Michael, do you have any specific examples at this point? I mean, I think it would really be helpful just to be able to see exactly how this plays out. Because one of the things that when we were talking about this last week, one of the things that struck me is we on the one hand were very focused on finding a way to constrain use because we get so many extensions. And, of course, in that conversation, we were focused on type dimensions and how we could use that as a constraint. And we had a mechanism where we were going to provide an enumerated list of members as part of the type dimension. And then Paul says, well, that's just going in full circle from where we are now with our extendable enumeration. And we just shook our head because we had no clue what he was talking about. So in our space, we are very focused on finding a way to pull back those extensions, which are a real problem. You, on the other hand, want to provide a mechanism to provide extensions. And I'm feeling like there's two different camps. Camps is not maybe the right word, but representing two different types of taxonomies or implementations that are in play, where in one scenario, that's a good idea, but in my scenario, I'm not particularly keen on providing that sort of flexibility. So can you help me with that?
I can completely understand your point. That's the first thing. And we've always had these two, so to say, directions of building the taxonomies, more structured taxonomies, typical for banking sector, for tax reporting, for insurance sector, more open taxonomies, typical to financial reporting, and IFRS is and US GAAP as well were the examples of those. I think it depends obviously on the underlying reporting standards and the legal aspect of whether the particular company should tailor the report and is able to tailor the report or not. In case of these closed reporting scenarios, typically the entity was not even able to amend anything that the regulator provided. So now if we are in the space of open reporting schemes, we need to consider what are we willing to achieve at the end. Andy mentioned that we are pushing the preparers more to define what they are reporting. That's true. So that's obviously a more effort for them. Is it desired? Depends on the policy of the particular institution. You said that you want to restrict the number of extensions or withdraw more and more prescribed. So in other words, you're shifting towards more closer, not closed yet, but more closed reporting schemes, so to say, or prescribed.
Use as intended.
Use as intended, yeah, okay. No, so there is no one golden solution. I prefer to think about this specification as an alternative or one of the options available. Now, again, depends on what we want to achieve. If we want to increase comparability, we need to prescribe more, because choosing from drop-down lists increases comparability. Typing the values in requires us to take care with case-sensitive XML things. What happens if someone introduces the product name of iPad all small caps and iPad all large caps? Obviously, we've got two different products from XBL perspective, which is not necessarily the case.
I think the confusion sometimes stems from why would we mix the two? Because with extensible enumerations, we can push preparers to start using fixed values, but we're also giving them the option to type in things that we have no control over.
I think we are not leaving them the option to
Well, they're extensible enumerations. If you're in a system where they're open to be able to extend.
But the extension is by extension of the list.
Yeah, but they can add in their own list members. Those additional list members are just as prone to inconsistency between years. I mean, if you look at the existing US GAAP taxonomy, those extension list members, they might have iPad in caps 1 year and iPad without the capitals next year.
No, it's less prone because you cannot define, for instance, two iPad elements in the same namespace with the same name.
Well, you can if you
regardless
switch
of caps.
I'm talking about between years.
Yes, but between years, if I define it for 2010, and as I think Kylie mentioned, that the most common practice is you roll forward, so you reuse as much as possible from the previous ones, you see obviously that you've got an iPad element already defined. Okay. So I would, well, I mean, either we are assuming that we are dealing with smart filers or not.
Well,
so
it's also not going to be comparable.
Look at our
it's
data.
Not anyway, I think it's a conversation.
Yeah, we can have this conversation offline, but in a sense, I think I would just put one warning to not to dismiss the extensible enumerations just at once. Maybe it's for the future, just like that.
That's what I'm mentioning.
Actually, we need to. He's got a couple more slides, and we're actually out of time there. Unless it's really.
I have a really quick spec question, which is: do extensible enumerations have to be extensible? Or do you just get the new language support.
But can you lock it down?
Can you lock it down? In other words, do you get the advantage of being able to change labels but not have them open and extensible?
We don't have a way to prohibit extension.
By business rules only,
yeah.
By formula. So you can restrict the application of any, or you know, adding any new elements by saying there is a
you
business rule restricting.
Okay.
So the taxonomist is not in control.
All right, can you hold that or you...
As the editor of the specification, I'd like to mention one thing. This is exactly coming from the real user requirements from the non-financial reporting area. Mm-hmm. So they're really allowed to be extended a list of values. So that's why this is coming from the design. And we made other specifications. Then as a side effect, if you can consider the use of the dimensions into the list of values, the possible way to simplify the taxonomies, then as a result, the number of contexts can be dramatically reduced. That is exactly reported from one. This is completely a side effect of the using adapting the extensible enumerations. Then because of that, the size of instances reduced. That is already reported from the organization who wants this mechanism. That is the CDP.
Mm-hmm. And the key point here was non-financial.
No financial.
So just proceed to the second point on my agenda. I want to focus a bit on IFRS versioning information. As you know, we provide IFRS taxonomy version information. Every interim release and every annual release, you have a possibility to comment on it. And just to remind you, it's a set that consists of two files. One is XML file, which is versioning report, and it's usually utilized by XBRL processor. And the second one is more interesting of especially it's human readable format, and it's a HTML file, which is IFRS taxonomy version visualization file. So based on your feedback, we decided to update our version XML file to recent XII standard, excluding the versioning for dimension specification. And as you know, versioning information, the visualization part was only available in English, and it has changed recently. Since the beginning of this month, we decided to provide versioning information between two taxonomies for multiple languages, as especially for the most recent languages, like, for example, Arabic, Japanese, Korean, Spanish, and now, I think on Friday, we released the versioning information for Hungarian between two taxonomies, which are 2012 and 2015 taxonomies. We'll be adding from now on translated version information between annual taxonomies releases as translation become available. So usually it will be on annual basis, and probably it will be four or five languages. So here's the example of IFRS taxonomy versioning visualization in Japanese. Don't ask me to read it, but that's how it looks like. It's the structure almost mirrored the English version of the taxonomy in English. But obviously there might be some differences between English and, for example, Japanese, and it depends actually if the Japanese label has been changed because of improvements or typos or something like that. So that's how it looks currently. And I will just proceed to our new development, which is interactive IFRS Taxonomy Illustrated. So IFRS Taxonomy Illustrated, as you know, ITIs are our major documents provided in PDFs on our website. They are available with every release that we publish. And this document presents the structure of IFRS Taxonomy in simplified format. There are few columns in there, and obviously you're not required to know XBRL to read those PDFs. So what was the purpose of making this ITIs more interactive? The first thing is to leverage the use of IFRS taxonomy documentation labels. So as you know, we provide the documentation labels around since 2 years, roughly. So we wanted to leverage the usability or usage of these documentation labels. And the other part that is important as well is the ease of navigating through all of our elements in that structure. As a result of creating this file, we can maybe in the future consider use of that kind of interactive format as additional supporting material for our future IFRS taxonomy updates. So that's how the interactive IFRS taxonomy illustrated will look like. And it's, as you know, it looks almost the same like ITIs, but the difference is we provide on the third column, we provide documentation labels. And as you can see, if you hover around the documentation, you can have description of every, if you hover over the concept label, you can have a description for this or definition for this label. And obviously you can click on it and it navigates to the point of where we use property, for example, property plan and equipment in the file. So it's quite easy to skim through the document and try to navigate by clicking through all of those hyperlinks, and gives more understanding of all of these elements placed in the hierarchy on the left. So this is one of the examples of use for documentation labels, and the question is that a good idea to use in such a way? Is that kind of supporting material good enough to be attached as additional material for the IFRS taxonomy in the future? What do you think? Please.
So exactly how is, I'm just trying to understand the mechanism here. So this is web-based?
Yes, it's a HTML-based file. It can work as a standalone file. It can be zipped, or it can be provided like versioning information. It's almost the same structure like our versioning information file. You have those lines, columns, almost the same like in the versioning information. You can disable them. You can, for example, remove this column where you see attributes of the element, which is text block, table, axis. You can add references in, alongside this list as well. So
this provides a mechanism so you don't have to redefine property, plant, and equipment everywhere, right?
Yeah.
That's part of the references we introduced into the definitions when we created them.
Right.
They exist as text references at the moment to the name. So this is picking up those text references and expanding them into usable HTML.
If you put this in a flat file, you're going to lose that, right?
Well, in instance,
we provided the hyperlinks. If we're talking about flat file like HTML,
you got this into an Excel or a PDF,
you'll lose this information.
You can have hyperlinks in Excel and PDF though, if you want.
Yeah, so you could still have it linked.
You can keep the links.
Yeah.
Cool. Useful.
Okay. Any other questions?
Unfortunately, the hyperlinks are not in the documentation label itself.
No.
Yeah.
Which means that referencing can't be consumed by other tools. I could probably reference another couple of taxonomies around the world that have approached the same problem, and they call them cross references and others, and they've used mole types and all sorts of things to provide relationships within the taxonomy through
documentation. We had these discussions when we introduced them. We were having a great deal of difficulty coming up with a single mechanism that would be supported by most software, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So at the moment, we've just got text references until there's a standard way of doing it.
And I think that's the point I wanted to raise here, which is that there is a this is definitely one of those discussion points to push in the XII direction in terms of there needs to be a more standardized way of doing this.
Thank you.
Need a volunteer.
I think
no further comments. So I think
so Louis has said already it's useful. Again, for us, we always have, for every activity we do, we have to weigh up the cost and benefits. So it's really mainly used for targeted here for users, also for regulators when they support their users and preparers. So I think maybe Jim or Roxana, do you think this is something useful, this is something we should pursue, or what do you have any, or you don't have any strong views on it?
Sorry to disappoint you, but I think it looks too abstract for me for the time being. I think I would be able to provide input later on, but now it looks a bit too much.